Hey, we're back here on Downtown on a Tuesday afternoon. It's time for us to talk basketball. And to do that, we welcome in John Corrales of Boston Sports Journal and the Locked On Celtics podcast. Well, John, three preseason games down so far. What did we learn in game three?
Game three was, I learned that Jaylen Brown probably shouldn't have played, but that's okay. The Celtics rested most guys. So I think it was just more looking at guys like Noah Vonleh, who are trying to make a statement that they belong at least on the roster, Justin Jackson trying to make a case for himself. You know, I think with me specifically looking at Noah Vonleh, I know the first couple of games I was certainly hard on him. I think he was not good in his first few games, but I didn't realize he had a hamstring injury coming into camp, so he was just getting over that. And you know, I think it just took a little bit of time for him to start getting used to everything. So it's possible that Vonleh could make the end of the bench. It's possible he can make a contribution. So it's not out of the question that he'll be some sort of contributor. I still don't think Justin Jackson is going to make much of an impact on this team, but you never know. But I think after that third preseason game, you start to see a little bit of what they saw in Noah Vonleh. And he's you're probably looking at, you know, 10th, 11th, 12th guy, so it's not going to matter much. But he showed a little bit.
So with a week to go until the season opener, what are the final decisions that need to be made, if any?
Well, they're in the process of starting to waive guys at the end of the bench. You know, bringing in A.J. Reeves, former Providence guy, they'll waive him tomorrow and try to assign him to Maine. They'll start doing that for some of the end of the bench guys. So they did that for Luka Saunich, and he's going to be going down going down to Maine as well. So those are the types of decisions they're going to make there. And then it's starting lineup stuff. It's can Luke Kornet get up to speed? Is he going to be, he's just getting over the sprained ankle. So how are they going to start game one against the Philadelphia 76ers? Will he have his wind? Will he be, you know, the cardio be there? Will they be able to go double big? How long will they be going double big? And then the bench rotations. And it's all going to be fluid, but, you know, opening the season against Philadelphia is certainly going to be a challenge because they're also contenders and they're a unique team with Joel Embiid. So those types of things, who's going to start alongside Tatum, Brown, Smart, and Al Horford? And then how are they going to manage the minutes off the bench?
We're talking with John Corrales here on Downtown. He had a very interesting piece on Grant Williams and how, he's using the threat of the three to do some other interesting things on the court.
Yeah, I think the word's gotten out that he's a 40% three-point shooter, and now that he's kind of like a deadeye, that defenders are looking at running him off the line. And so he's had a couple of instances where he's getting the ball in transition or late as a trailer and kind of setting up the defenders as if he's going to shoot to draw them out. And now when a defender turns around or is helping and they say, oh, there's Grant Williams and he's at the three-point line, he's dangerous. He's doing some very smart things to kind of fake his interest in a three-point shot to get the overreaction. And then he's getting by defenders and he's been able to get to the rim and finish at the rim. He's been able to make a couple of nice passes, a couple of nice plays. It's a very nice progression in his game. I asked Al Horford about it. You know, Al said that one of the moves had the whole team in awe, and that it's nice to see Grant thinking the game. So it's a nice progression, and now he just needs to continue that, and he needs to really be a threat. I think we might start seeing him take some pull-up jumpers in transition, which is going to be a new element for him as well. And if he can start getting those to fall, then he could really open things up because now you have Grant Williams breaking down defenses. And if Grant Williams is the guy who's breaking down the defense, then who's going to benefit from there? It's going to be the main guys. It's going to be Jaylen and Jason and those guys. Those guys are supposed to be opening things up for Grant Williams. So if he's opening things up for them, that adds just a dynamic element to the offense that I wasn't expecting, and can really help the Celtics become a better than expected offense.
I've got a new piece that was just posted on Danilo Gallinari, and a couple of things of note in there. First of all, while we were speculating how severe the injury might be, he had a pretty good idea early on.
He knew. He knew right away. You know, right away. He's like, yeah, because you could see when he made the move, when he was playing for Italy last month in the Eurobasket tournament, he's grabbing the back of his knee. And that's a telltale sign that something ACL related has happened. When it first came out that he was, he had a torn meniscus, I knew it from afar that seemed a little weird. And he said, yeah, I knew it. I have, you know, he's done it before. So he knew how that pain felt. He knew what the ACL felt like. And even though the Italian team doctor said one thing, he knew, and then when it came out and it was confirmed, he said, you know, unfortunately, I was right. But he could pick that up right away.
And interesting, too, to learn that not only this was not just a signing for him, an opportunity to play, it was a chance to play for a team that he grew up loving, and he seems very determined that he's going to get back and help in some fashion.
Yeah, he talked about, you know, when he was a kid, he was a big Larry Bird fan. So, I mean, who can blame him, right? So he's hoping that he can find a way back onto the floor. It's a slim chance. It's not a good chance that he's going to be back. And unfortunately, I think just business-wise, it makes much more sense for the Celtics to use his salary in a trade and get somebody that can help rather than carry that money on somebody that's not going to be able to really perform and pay taxes on that money. So I think if there's an off-season move to be made, he's a prime candidate to be moved. But he's really trying to get back, and he wants to stick around with this team, and he's going to be going to the games, and he's going to be going to road games as soon as they clear him to fly. He really wants to do something in Boston, and it's just it's almost sad in a way because the writing's on the wall. It feels like trading him makes the most sense, but he really wants to be here, and so you have this sense of like, hopefully he can be like a really strong healer and he can make it back for the end of the season and maybe make a contribution.
So, John, here we are a week away with all the turmoil of preseason. Has anything really changed on the court? Should this Celtics team be considered a contender to get back to the finals and maybe win the whole thing?
You know, I got to give these guys credit. I was doing a big preview show for, you know, the NBA, the Eastern Conference, and I admitted, I said, this Ime Udoka stuff, I don't know how it's going to affect these guys. I think there's a real chance it could derail them. And I haven't seen any evidence of that since uttering those words and training camp opened and watching these guys in preseason. I haven't seen a single thing that makes me think that the Ime stuff has negatively impacted them. If anything, it's allowed them to rally around a common cause, common goal, which is to prove to everybody that, hey, you know, yes, this hurts and it sucks. And, you know, there's some level of pain and confusion involved with losing your coach in this fashion. But it's still the players who got to the NBA Finals. It's still the players who made that run at the end of last season. And it's still mostly the same guys who are here. And I've said this before, just because Ime's gone doesn't mean you have to return his game plans, his lessons, everything that you've learned on the floor. The off-the-floor stuff is obviously bad, but the on-the-court stuff was good. And you can keep that and build on that because that plan helped get them to the NBA Finals. So I think, yeah, they are a contender. They're a strong contender. And everything that I've seen this preseason has shown that these guys are really focused, more focused than I expected, and ready to go out there and prove something. So there's a silver lining in all of this, and I think they're using that as some sort of fuel to push them. I think they're in as good a position as anybody in the league to get back to the finals.
If you want to know what's going on with the Celtics this season, look, it's pretty simple. First of all, make sure you follow John on Twitter. Make sure you subscribe to Boston Sports Journal to read his great work, as well as that of others. And subscribe to the Locked On Celtics podcast. That's going to put you in the know. And, of course, tune in every Tuesday when John joins us here. John, thank you much. We'll see you next week.
My pleasure. Talk to you then.